I will always remember when MTV played your video from the song Legs.
Ooh, yeah.
That was well produced.
We sure enjoyed it. There's a funny story about the making of that particular video. In the early days when MTV was getting off the ground, they didn't quite know the effect that videos may or may not have been having. And they were all non-union shoots, which meant that you could assemble a crew together, and you could start Friday afternoon at 6 p.m. and you worked straight through, because you had to quit Sunday morning at 6 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And it was a bit of a tedious challenge, but we got through it and just having a great time. Of course, hanging around those pretty girls was not a bad deal.
Yeah, that didn't hurt, did it?
And we wrapped up the video for Legs, and the processing plant accidentally put the film in the wrong batch. And it got swallowed in some mysterious vat, which meant that we had to go do it again. But again, to say the pretty girls were there to support us was a great bonus.
You have got to tell us the story about Zero-G and how this started and what happened to you folks who were on that plane.
Well, I was flying back from Atlanta, Georgia, coming to the West Coast, and I sat next to an interesting fellow. He was a very, very cordial young fellow named Ray Hunsinger. And he introduced himself as being part of the NASA Zero Gravity Astronaut Training Program. And that, right off the bat, fascinated me, and we got to talking. And as the flight came to an end, we decided we would stay in contact. And he was a big ZZ Top fan. And a few months went by, and off to the touring season we went. And we passed through Huntsville, Alabama, did a big show there, and he'd had the time to come out. And we kind of rekindled the friendship. And I suppose it was the following year. I want to say it was about a year that went by. And my secretary called and said, your friend from NASA is in town, and they've got the zero-gravity airplane out at the hangar. And they've invited you to come by. So off we went. I was very curious to see how this thing operated. And he said, listen, come aboard. I'd like you to see it. And I said, well, I've got my favorite Les Paul in the car. I said, we're kind of in a remote section of the airport. And I said, do you mind if I just drag it along? I don't want anything to happen to
it. That's a guitar, for those of you who don't know what guitars are.
Oh, yeah. So me and the guitar ascended the staircase, and He said, there's not really a whole lot to look at. It was basically it's a cargo plane with no windows, and there was a few seats bolted down to the rear. The rest of it was just a foam rubber mat. And he said, have a seat here. We're just going to taxi to the other side of the airport. And I said, okay. And we had a small talk, and then I heard the engines revving up a little more than taxi.
Uh-huh.
And I felt it leaning back, and I raced to the one small porthole window to realize we were now flying out over the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, no, and you're saying, what's going on here?
And I knew I'd been had, and I said, okay, so we're now climbing to 55,000, clearing military airspace, by the way. And that was it. We were en route to experience zero gravity.
Because I think the way this plane works, and you correct me if I'm wrong, they go up really fast, and it gives you mass weight, and then they drop it real fast.
That is correct.
And you go into zero gravity.
That is correct. Yeah. We climbed to 55,000, and they nose down, 20 degrees. They drop for about 30 seconds. Then they pull the nose back up for about 30 seconds, and you experience double, maybe triple your body weight. You become very heavy. You cannot lift your hands. And then once again, it's nose down. And if in a full zero gravity drop, you've got about 45 seconds of free float.
That must have been strange.
It was very strange. I mean,
and where was the guitar while this was going on?
Well, we had it strapped down. There was an ice cooler and a few odds and ends. There was four paramedics on board. Just
in case.
Just in case. They had a computer programmer. She was on board. One of the other flight instructors, who had trained every astronaut since the program began in the 60s.
How cool is that?
And what made it equally interesting, they were training yet a new pilot to try and iron out the kinks of learning how to fly zero gravity. But as earthbound, gravity-ridden creatures, our DNA does not know what zero gravity is. And there is something rather strange and peculiar that takes place with that experience. You're seeing familiar objects, but something is really wrong.
Now, in a commercial plane, Billy, they have in the front of the back of the seat that faces you when you're sitting, these little bags in case people get sick.
Yes, indeed they do. In fact, one of the accoutrements in the ice cooler was a fresh box of Glad bags. They don't call it the Vomit Comet for nothing.
That is a true name, too.
Oh, yeah.
In your entire musical career, and it just continues to go up like this plane, if you had to think back at the one episode of your professional life, your career, is there any story, is there anything that has affected you more than anything?
I think being on the road with my two great partners, that experience in itself was so unexpected to have continued on. But the bottom line is, the three of us genuinely enjoy getting to do what we enjoy most, and that's just playing music.
Yeah, you guys are 30 years, ageless, ageless.
As the saying goes, same three guys, same three chords, but we still loving it.
Did you ever have a chance to meet any of the Beatles or anybody like that along the way in your musical career?
Yes, and just recently we passed along with the Rolling Stones, dear friends of ours, and just had a very warm and rather robust exchange as they continue their interesting journey.
That is amazing too, isn't it?
Oh, they're great. One of the greats. They are the greats. We really love them.
Who has influenced you the most?
Well, in the beginning, I suppose the strongest influence growing up in Texas was a lot of the influences from the great blues men, a lot of the country and western singers, Jimmy Reed, Howlin' Wolf, Muddy Waters, B.B. King. The list can go
giants.
On and on.
Yeah.
And we've decided to attempt to be interpreters. They, of course, are the inventors and originators. And it's quite a challenge to continue this approach of interpreting. And it's a great art form.
We teased our audience for a couple days, Billy, with a tight shot of a person's beard, trying to get them to figure out just who the heck this mystery guest was going to be tonight.
Yeah.
How long have you had the beard?
We started rather inauspiciously by taking a little hiatus from our road work. We had worked for 7 solid years, and we decided to take a break. Frank went to the Caribbean, Dusty went to Mexico, wound up in Europe for a short time. And although we were speaking by phone nearly every day, we didn't see one another.
Yeah.
But all of us, instinctively got that lazy bug and decided to quit shaving. And when we reconvened, here we were with these 2-foot chin whiskers hanging, and we kind of had a laugh about it, and we said, well, it looks like this is it. It's been that way ever since.
Have you ever had to trim it or cut it? I mean, does it stop growing at a certain point?
Well, it gets tangled up in the strings, and it's an automatic cut.